Daphne Dumont done fucked up drag. But that's all right, because drag is all about shaking things up or down. This Saturday, here in Chicago at The Call, Mark's pulling Daphne Dumont once again out of storage and putting the gal back to work. But is she really ready for it?
Today, comedian Cody Melcher joins us to look at common mistakes drag queens make, and what are some easy tricks to dazzle the audience into forgetting you're just a dude in a wig.
Plus, a Russian deputy prime minister insists a robot that's being trained to shoot guns at people is not a Terminator.
The Facebook Live killer changes his status to Facebook dead.
The worst little whorehouse in Texas.
Unicorn frappuccinos.
And an African village is terrorized by a gay baboon. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Right now, you have Feast of Fun in your ears because for the last 13 years, a listener just like you took the time to support this one-of-a-kind, in-depth programming. If you like the show, please make a donation at feastoffun.com/donate. And if you didn't like the show, make a donation anyway to help us improve.
One of my favorite drag queens of all time is my husband, or my she'sbund. Daphne Dumont, who's coming back from the grave, because a good drag queen is hard to kill, here in Chicago on Saturday night at 9 o'clock at The Call, and she's a little bit nervous. Joining me to give some pointers to Daphne Dumont on how to shine on the stage is comedian Cody Melcher, who, like me, is a old salt of the stage.
Hello. I'm feeling very salty today.
You tasted saltier.
Call me Saltine.
Saltina.
Don't take his drag name. One of Fausto's many drag names is Saltina.
Because they can't pronounce Faustina. And so they just like, it came because I was calling one of those Christian radio stations in the 90s. And he's like, what's your name? And I'm like, my name is Faustina. And they're like, Saltina, my man, you got problems. So everybody started calling me Saltina, and I'm like, oh, great.
That's a bumper sticker. Saltina, my man, you got problems.
Well, and Daphne Dumont, you know.
She has her own set of problems.
Yeah. She got a set. So we are titling the show, Don't Do What Daphne Dumont Does.
Well, because Fausto was trying to give me some advice. I was performing in the number for him, and he did give me some good advice. And one of them was probably the most important one was like, don't slap the audience.
That's a general performance rule, unless like you're doing like, I guess, like a S&M club thing. I don't know.
Well, the number I'm doing, so the show is called Six Queens, One Diva, and the concept is that the
Wait, say that slower, because I wanted it to sink in.
Six Queens, One Diva.
Are you
Not
the diva?
Two no. girls, one cup.
No. Six Queens,
six
One Diva.
Six Queens, One Diva cup.
So the concept is like at the last show, they did a performance, and I think they do a lottery or whatnot, and somebody wins and they get to pick like who the next diva is for the next show.
Okay.
So whoever like won last time picked Aretha Franklin. So that's everybody has to do songs by Aretha Franklin. And so I'm doing her cover of I Will Survive because it's kind of terrible in many ways. It's kind of fun, but kind of terrible. And you're like, what the heck is going on here? It kind of medley leads into another song. And so I thought, you know, if you're being playful to the audience, you know, you just slap them a little bit. Because, like, listen, I'll survive. Right?
Well, I Will Survive is a song that has been sung by pretty much every African-American diva, from Gloria Gaynor to Eartha Kitt, Diana Ross, and in this case, Aretha Franklin. Mm-hmm. And Aretha Franklin's approach, I just kind of discovered it because I was looking for songs to mix together for a drag number that we did for Austin International Drag Festival last year, which will be again in November.
Ooh.
And I found this Aretha Franklin song, and it's really, really weird. It's on iTunes. You guys can listen to it. And she's like, you know, we're all familiar with, at first I was afraid, I was petrified, kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But Aretha Franklin sings it like this. At first I was afraid, I was petrified, kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. Then I spent so many nights just thinking how you did me wrong, and I was strong. And I just had to get along. like she pauses and speeds it up in really weird ways.
She's like scatting it.
Yeah, yeah, and then she actually does do some scat in the middle of it.
Oh, I hope they clean up after.
I won't be that. We have stage hands for that.
And so Mark, and this is really true, in order to practice for the show, he, instead of warming up by doing sit-ups or jumping jacks, he puts on Aretha Franklin's I Will Survive and lip syncs it to much the confusion of other people at the gym who came there to work out. And he's like, put on a boa and heels. Well, because you have a nice full mirror so you can see, you know. Yeah.
He's doing a different workout.
And so Mark showed me the performance. And I remember from the days when I used to host open mic drag nights is always the new drag queens. For some reason, they want to get even with the audience and they start pushing and shoving and touching them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you cannot touch the audience members.
I think the power starts going to their head. They're like, I have so much control now.
I mean, I'm an emancipated woman.
Yeah. I mean, that happens with stand-ups, not the hitting, but they don't get off stage.
It was like a slap on the shoulder a little bit. Yeah. It's not like a slap.
No, Mark literally went up to my face and went, and I'm like, but hey, it's the part this of the song
where it's like, I leave you behind in the dust.
Stand-ups will get like aggressive, like especially newer stand-ups will get like real aggressive with the audience out of nowhere. Like, I think it's just like a weird power hungry thing that happens. But yeah, don't hit people in the audience.
Okay, so that's the first rule.
It's like a customer's always right situation. Like, don't hit the customer. Like, that's what United didn't do correct. You know?
I have a feeling if we called Sharon Needles right now, she might disagree with you guys.
She might say, pull out a cigarette and put it out on somebody's hands.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna do it, go full in it, you know. Yeah. Like, that's the thing.
Well, so don't physically assault your audience unless they're paying you to do that.
Yeah, unless it's implicit and like complicit in the agreement of the act.
And part of it is, I think, you know, a lot of drag queens make the mistake of not thinking about the structure of their performance. Mm-hmm. Right. So you have what you're doing at the beginning isn't what you want to do in the middle. Right. And it's not what you want to do at the end. Right. And so you want to sort of like have some sort of dynamics. Mm-hmm. So we see a transformation or we see some tension and release. Mm-hmm.
Tell me a story. Yeah. You know,
anything.
Yeah. Yeah, like just like bring something. Yeah, this isn't like hanging out in your childhood bedroom, you know, lip syncing along to Bewitched, C'est La Vie. Like this is the stage. This is the main stage. Give us some art.
I'm giving you full performance. Daphne illusion.
Boa and all.
And you know, a common mistake that some performers make is that they're feel like they're auditioning for the audience when the audience already has decided they like you and they're ready to see what you have to do.
Right.
You don't have to be asking for approval. You can be confident in your own. And sometimes, you know, as Cody Melcher many times has failed in front of an audience and keeps going.
Many times.
Constantly. I mean, like, it's a balance of bringing your level of professionalism, but also making it clear that they are implicitly buying that you're already a professional anyway. So you've got to bring yourself up to the level that they are already putting you at. Like, I'm assuming people are paying to see you.
They are. I think they're asking for $5 at the door, exactly. Which I'll get a very small cut of that. So bring your dollars.
or he'll cut you.
Yeah. Should I make some cupcakes? Should I sell some cupcakes?
Yeah, why not?
Get a merch table.
I'll get some merch table.
Get some merch cupcakes.
I'm not an evil queen. I just got a bad edit. I'll stand there.
Yeah.
With the
sell them during the act. I saw that at Milwaukee Pride. People were like selling CDs while the people were playing. Go for it.
Why not? You know, if you don't have dollars, Fausto here can take credit card tips for me while I'm performing.
I can swipe your card for you.
Yeah, get a square. Yeah. Just do it on square. Yeah.
I don't know why drag queens don't get square card readers and swipe the cards while
they should put one like on their chest that has like a chip reader. And so they can like put their chest forward. You stick it right in there. Boom.
So own the fact that the audience is there to see you perform and celebrate. Enjoy the moment. Mm-hmm. And then remember that simple things can be very powerful. Mm-hmm. What's boring off stage, like somebody, you know, and skipping rope or playing with a hula hoop, can be dazzling on stage. Mm. And drag is all about building on the ashes of failure. So, you know, and rising like a phoenix, then crystallizing and walking the runway. And
wow.
Okay.
I feel like that.
Kennedy Davenport says, right? Okay. And so you can take, you know, the fact that you don't know how to jump rope or use a hula hoop can be really entertaining and funny. Mm-hmm. And you did that really, really well.
Oh, I did try and do a hula hoop before, but it's really hard to do a hula hoop when you're wearing like a dress and you're padded.
Yeah.
Like as a dude, I can kind of do a hula hoop for a little bit, but it is still very hard.
Right.
Like when Grace Jones at 67 years old gets up and does a hula hoop in front of all these people for like the entire song of Slave to the Rhythm. Mm. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. She's a slave to the abdominal machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't do a hula hoop and not an outfit. Like I'm just, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, so you got to practice. It's one of those things you got to practice. Well, it.
So I just want to clarify because I'm not completely unfamiliar with the oeuvre of Daphne Dumont, but she a comedy queen? She's a
supermodel.
So it's all face. Beautiful. So it's all face. It's all beauty. You're the body. You're coming in as the body.
Yes. As the body.
Daphne Dumont's trademark thing, which she's not aware of, is that she doesn't realize she needs to shave, so she just puts the lipstick on top of the hair on her face. So. Which looks absolutely disgusting and revolting, but it's hilarious.
Yeah, this sounds like incidental comedy queen.
She doesn't realize she's funny, but we, you know, she's laughing with us on the inside.
Okay.
I could read her bio for you if you want.
Yeah,
oh, please do.
Aside from being a talented model, Daphne has mastered the art of self-styling. Her signature looks are the epitome of Hollywood bombshell glamour. Her talent to transform herself from one character to the next has made her one of the most sought-after pop culture personalities of all time. Internationally, Daphne's name and likeness has become synonymous with glamour and sophistication.
Keep going. Yeah, talk about her products.
Her debut singles, Beer and My Wig's Too Tight, produced by Dee Dee Duncan's with lyrics she found scribbled on a wall at a bus stop, are available on her current remix album, Divine Pussy. A full album released by the internet will be available in summer 2018. Daphne has inspired many limited edition projects, including a Bubba Swatch watch, which to date is the fastest selling limited edition swatch. The Daphne Dumont doll collection designed by Jason Wu sold out in a matter of hours. It was a life-size creation that was either a sex doll or a flotation device. The Daphne Celebra Hippo, a designer rubber hippo bathtub toy created in her likeness. And now Daphne, the signature fragrance created by one of the world's most celebrated perfumiers, Christian Loudmouth. Daphne's exclusive new limited fragrance, Daphne, is now available at Feast of Fun, housed in a luxurious silk-lined mini coffin. The bottle is covered in over six Swarovski crystals with a pink satin atomizer and comes with a 16-page signed booklet detailing Daphne's many accomplishments, her personal musings, and a laundry list of her actual laundry.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. That's
actually a total ripoff of Amanda Lepore's bio.
It's from her MySpace page. That's how old this shit is.
Yeah.
I was halfway through. I was pretty sure it was just Elizabeth Taylor.
And you know, Daphne is very much inspired by Elizabeth Taylor, and also you know, by Divine was inspired by Elizabeth Taylor. So if you ever see Daphne's early looks, kind of the eyes are very much Elizabeth Taylor.
But yeah. Your first name is based on Daphne from Scooby.
Do. Oh, not Daphne from Frasier? I'm disappointed. I would have thought. I definitely would go with Daphne from Frasier.
She was the main, Dumont. Right? Mm-hmm. Is it Dumont?
I don't know. It's Dumont. It's Dumont now. But I think the first one was Dumont. And it was just from Victoria Lamar. I don't know, because she was the land, or she was the sea, and I was the land. Or something.
So Victoria Lamar was a Spanish for
the sea.
The sea, mm-hmm. La Mar. And Dumont is the mountain.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's very sweet.
She's my drag mother. Now she's dead, so you have to be respectful of her.
Can we have a little moment of silence for Victoria Lamar? Nah.
It reminds me of that short Pixar short of the volcano that fell in love with like the ocean, like the volcano and then the ocean and everything. It's very sweet.
I didn't see that one.
It's good.
So my big
Victoria Lamar was one of my favorite people, and I am genuinely very distressed and triggered and sad when I think about her. And
she had
so
much to give.
She had everything you know about Victoria Lamar was the bonus round, because she was somebody who lived with full blown AIDS for like 15 years or something. Wow. And she almost died like years before we started doing this podcast. And part of the reason we started putting up the podcast and doing these videos is because we were like, she's going to drop dead at any minute, and we got to capture this girl before she goes. Mm. And so we were like busy, you know, capturing and sharing her story and her sensibility with the world. And that's what got Mark inspired you to dress up in drag.
One of the first times I did it was with her. We did a little video called Beauty Pageant Winner, where I actually, you know, you can check it out on YouTube.
And she was one of the
first. How do we find it on YouTube?
Just search Beauty Pageant Winner Victoria Lamar.
Is it on Feast of Fun or is it on Feast of Fools?
Maybe Feast of Fools, but we're not sure.
So is this all the advice you guys have for me?
I did have a follow-up question about your bio. Did it say that one of her songs, that her album is going to be released soon by the internet?
Yes. Because I don't know if that's actually stolen from some other people that I know that are just like, it'll be released on the internet, like or it's produced by the internet. My favorite thing is when people say they're a model on Instagram.
Yep.
You know,
and that's I'm a model on Instagram.
I am too. I'm just unsuccessful.
Yeah. I'm just what do they call a catalog model on Instagram?
Well, let's see. Have you posed with your shirt off on Instagram? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, so Mark and I, it's three. Have you received any products ever to feature in your Instagram channel or gotten any free services to market on your Instagram? We have. Yeah. You know what we got? We got free ribs from a pork restaurant.
Nice. Yeah. I'm trying to get that on my other one because I started my other Instagram, Single Gay Groceries, where I just take pictures of my groceries.
What? Is that really a thing?
Yeah, that's a real thing. It's been doing pretty okay. But I'm hoping to one day get to a point where my Jewel will give me like free groceries.
And then the third thing, have you used your Instagram account to try to get some dick and you actually got the dick?
Yes.
So then you are a Instagram model.
I have.
You can say through those. So one of the things that I Kim Chi does this really well.
Yes.
And actually Trinity Taylor, when she was up against Charlie Heights, she did this really well.
RuPaul's Drag Race.
On RuPaul's Drag Race, the last episode that was out. She think about your drag creation as a doll that you're standing on stage and you're posing them through the out the song. So sometimes your arms can go up, sometimes they can go down. Right. Sometimes you can, you know, cross your fingers and rest your chin. There's a lot of fun things.
It's the silhouette. You're creating silhouettes.
Right. And levels. Like you want to remember that you're playing with dimensions and you're playing with a plane and everything. It's similar comedy. When you get to longer sets, newer comics, when they start getting to like half hour sets, when they start headlining, don't know that you're not supposed to just like yell the whole time. Like you have to kind of do peaks and valleys, you know, get the audience comfortable, then bring them back out of it and stuff like that. You know, and so it's similar with drag. It's like you don't want to just like keep all of your arms down by your side.
And like, you can't be like flailing the whole time either. Well, it's Aretha. So it's like, you know, she has a certain one of Aretha's favorite like dancing kind of things is she does what's called Detroit stepping. And they do that. They have a Chicago stepping. I'm sure the very similar style. And if you can watch, they have like television shows, or at least they used to here in Chicago, and it's just African-American people in a ballroom floor.
How did you pronounce that?
African-American people. Usually they're couples, usually in matching outfits, you know, the same color. They're called Afrocentric outfits, and they just kind of like doing these stepping dances. So it's kind of just like slow moving, you know, kind of like swing, but you don't have to move that much. So that's my that's my inspiration. But I am going to try and throw a death drop in there and maybe a front roll too.
Ooh!
If you have a prop, don't, you know, let the prop stand on its own. Don't feel like you have to bring your yard sale onto the stage. Some drag queens I've seen, they just feel like they have to have a new prop every 3 seconds in their song, and it gets cluttered. And at the end of your act, the stage looks like a thrift store.
Right. I think that ties into the movement thing is like be confident in being on stage
and just
like
enjoy this.
And play with the levels. Don't worry about, oh my God, there's not enough things happening in every second of this song. Like think about your favorite like songs are ones that have like a build up, you know, and then suddenly the like "and I will always love you" part comes on. Like if "I will always love you", if the whole song was that crescendo moment, it wouldn't be that good of a song.
And,
the whole song was at that level where it was just constantly crescendoing like that, you'd get tired.
Although I did see a great performance by Coco Chanel at Wigstock here in Chicago where she re-edited the "ha ha" part of I'm telling you, and so it sounded like she was sneezing. "And I am telling you, I'm not, you know, ha ha, ha ha, ha ha, ha ha." That is crazy. So, you know, we live in a digital times. Edit your performance and your song to make it not too long or put something clever in it. Circles, you know, in terms of choreographies, draw circles with your hands and your hips. And if you see something you want, point to it. You see that dollar bill? Point to it. You see that drink? Point to it. You see that hot Mac? Point at him, too.
But if you're doing drag at a Disney park, you point with two fingers, because that's what they tell you in Disney park training.
Exit.
Because one finger is rude.
Yes, one finger is rude, so you point with two fingers.
Mm-hmm. Ultimately, they're there to celebrate with you and check in with the audience. We actually did do a podcast, show 1929. It's available on our website, feastoffun.com. Common mistakes drag queens make with Bob the Drag Queen, who understood that quite well and went on to become one of the biggest names in drag back when she was a skinny little young thing. Bob, before she became the big star that she is today, Bob came on our podcast and shared her secrets on how to be a fierce drag queen. So if you're thinking of becoming a big, fierce drag queen yourself, check out our show with Bob the Drag Queen. It's only available to people who are premium subscribers. So become a member and help support the podcast that you love.
I'll go back and listen to that. But now my big question is this, though. RuPaul says the drag kills the ego. So the big question is, once your ego is dead, what then? What's the next step?
Super
Who
ego.
Who do you kill?
Just don't hit people.
What do you think that means?
I think part of it is that drag is building on the ashes of failure,
right.
and so to speak, it's like it's about laughing at yourself and the world around you and having a playful attitude about things. And so if you feel like you're not you for whatever reason you can't afford to smile at the misfortunes that you've experienced in your life or are going through, maybe drag isn't the thing for you just yet.
I think my biggest note, which is always my biggest performance note, is remember that the audience is like, think about the fact that the audience is there to see a show. And that is your job. Like they got babysitters. They went out and had dinner before this. Their entire night is planned around coming to see this show. So don't like, you know, don't show up, half your makeup's off and you're just like, I'll phone it in. Like every performance is the performance of a lifetime.
Aww. But the fact that you showed up and you got on that stage and you worked the runway, sweetie, in your heels and you didn't twist an ankle or broke your back, you're way ahead of the curve.
Yes. Okay. So don't twist your ankle or break your back either. That's a lot of pressure.
Because I want to stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the Facebook Live killer? Because he just changed his status to a Facebook dead.
Is that a joke?
Yeah.
Well, he died.
He's so dead. Facebook, they found him dead.
So Fausto didn't watch this, and I actually did watch it.
When I hear, like, you know, person dying on video, I don't want to put that shit in my head because I don't have nightmares.
Yeah.
I read about it. I didn't watch the video.
I did watch it, and it's sad and it's disturbing. And this guy was a father of 10 kids, and I guess they called him the garbage collector or the junk man because he would go around and like fix up junk bikes. He'd go around and like by the highway and pick up cans. And he wasn't poor. He was he didn't need the money necessarily, but he would just do it because it was his thing that he did.
Yeah.
And so it was sad to see him do that. Well, anyway, this happened in Cleveland, and the guy who did it was found in my hometown of Erie, and he killed himself. He pulled into the McDonald's, and the crew recognized him and made him pull ahead and wait for his French fries, and they called the police.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm hoping that they get a share of that $50,000 reward that they had for him. But it's there's some just weird murders and weird shit goes on in my hometown. Like, they had that pizza bomb murder.
Oh,
the guy with the collar around his neck. That was in my hometown, too.
That's your heritage, honey. Yeah. Erie, Pennsylvania. Yeah, they call it Erie for a reason.
I was about to say, it's very eerie.
Well, Erie actually is named after the Erie's Indians that were located. They were actually
It's not named after the TV show?
No, that was Erie, Indiana.
Okay.
So, yeah. Basically, like, Facebook has created this platform to terrorize people.
Yeah,
like you know, like I saw Melania Trump reading that Easter story to the kids.
In a religious dispassion.
Okay, for our dear listeners who are out there who are friends with people who come from romantic language cultures or Eastern European cultures.
Yeah, that's not romantic language where she's from. Slovenia's.
What the fuck? Articles? Where are the... She sounds like, you know, I speak with...
Well, because they don't use them. And actually, when you think about it, articles are actually very... You don't necessarily need them. Right? They're not a function. And so
only if you want to sound like Dracula.
Maybe she does. Maybe that's her thing.
This is what happens, though, when languages get spoken by wider amounts of people, mm-hmm. is that they become more simplified. So when you look at something like Mandarin Chinese, it's actually a very simplified language because mm-hmm. so many people have learned it. Because people are learning this language, they say, hey, this doesn't make sense.
Right.
You don't need this. Don't use it. And so that gets incorporated into the language. When you look at something that's small, like some of those Serbian countries or whatever, they have like 12 different declensions of their verbs. Or like German, those things can become overly complicated because right. nobody is there to say, stop this bullshit.
It also depends on how the language is spread. Like mm-hmm. if it's top down, like if it's an educated language mm-hmm. that is taught to people. So like French is hyper specific because it was the like intellectual language mm-hmm. for a really long time, and it was the main language that like the aristocrats used. Mm-hmm. So it was that when you get into languages that are traded between common people, mm-hmm. then they will tend to bloviate a little bit and mm-hmm. get bigger because they're like. They're using more slang and then incorporating that slang in. Mm-hmm.
So the book Melania read to the children, much to the children's confusion, terror,
Save Me,
was called Party Animals by Kathy Lee Gifford.
What?
And what? I have a little. This is the real thing. I'm not kidding you. So this is what she read, and I'm going to read it like Melania Trump.
Oh, God.
So word for word. Oh. Lucy Goosey was thrilled. She was filled with delight. Her birthday coming. Who should she invite? She wanted her party to be simply the best. She did use the there. So she had to be careful when choosing each guest. I can't invite pig. She'll eat all the food.
That's rude.
And goat is always in such a bad mood. I can't ask dog. All he does is growl. I know what I'll do. I'll ask wise owl. Who? And I'm just like, who gave her a book? Without articles. Like, somebody has a sense of humor that hates Melania Trump.
I mean, yeah, most of the world. I thought it was going to be a book that was just like, save me from this prison mm-hmm. that I have found myself in.
And
it
she
was
does just look be a like slow, she has a gun pointed at her back and she and her son are being held hostage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's not a happy person.
No, no. And she's moving now. So I don't know what's going
to happen.
Where's
she moving to? The White House?
She's moving. For the summer, they're right? leaving. I read that they're moving out of New York. So like they're
to Russia
with love.
To Mar-a-Lago or to the White House. She was going to move to the White House for the summer or something, right?
Yeah. Oh, good. Which is a lovely place to be, Washington, D.C. in the summer. So lovely. Mm-hmm. So nice
it's
and crisp.
Muggy, right?
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's horrible.
D.C. is horrible in the summer. I mean, more than normal.
I hope she's fucking miserable. That's all I'm gonna say. And she's making Donald Trump miserable.
I don't think anything can make him miserable other than himself.
Did you see Trump? He was at the he was signing. Somebody's like, sign my hat, Mr. Trump. So he signs the hat and then he just tosses it.
He's
in the
whipping
air
them in, yeah.
For anybody to have it. But I think they were passing these hats out to kids. Or
no, the kid goes sign my hat.
Yeah.
And Trump takes it, signs it, and throws it in because you hear the kid yell no when he throws the hat, and then he grabs another kid's hat. And throws it.
Mm-hmm. Throws that too.
Yeah. I believe the children
are
the future.
He's trying to save face. And, and he understood, like, Trump's body language was like, oh, okay, I fucked up. So let me do the mistake again.
Yeah.
So I absolve myself of any kind of responsibility.
I don't like couch psychology people, but like, I honestly think he's just an old dude who's not really super coherent about what's going on all the time. Like the fact that he doesn't realize that Kim Jong-il and Kim Jong-un are different people, or like the fact that he thought that he bombed Iraq but he bombed Syria. Like, I think sometimes he's just not really thinking and he's just going through the motions.
Well, keeping Trump in the White House, and if Trump pursues a war with North Korea or escalates tensions with North Korea, will result in the death of possibly millions of people in the region. Mm-hmm. And it's something very serious and distressing. And you know, it's certainly a testament to us as a country if we can stand up to this takeover of our government.
Yeah. Well, I'm super worried because Kim Jong-un said that he's going to, like, well, a defector said that Kim Jong-un would bomb L.A., if anything happened, like if his regime got threatened, that he would just nuke L.A. And so, like, we got to get Jeffrey out of there. Because Jeffrey's over there.
Our friend Jeffrey J.
Yeah, we gotta get Jeffrey out.
I was like, who are you talking about?
Jeffrey J. We gotta get Jeffrey J. out. Because he's in LA. He's dead zero right there.
Yeah, but you would think that they would do like something a little closer, like Seattle. You know, because LA from is
I think it's because it's so big. I think it's just because it's a huge city. I think he just wants to do the biggest takeout he can because he knows it's that's his like end game. He's like, I'm going out, so I'm going to take out the largest, closest thing I can.
It's just so weird that North Korea is still a thing.
Yeah.
Like it's really it's like the world's largest cult or something.
Stop trying to make North Korea happen.
The Russian deputy prime minister says their new gun-wielding robot is not a Terminator.
Then what is it?
It's a gun-wielding robot.
That's such a bad look when you have to come out and be quoted as, look, it's not a Terminator. We promise it's not a Terminator.
It's being trained to shoot guns. It looks fierce as... it looks like a Terminator. Look at this. It looks from the movie... that RoboCop?
Oh yeah, the new one.
It looks like a low budget RoboCop.
The it's being trained to shoot guns, but is it being trained to shoot guns well? That's the question, because the Russian military doesn't have a good history of training them to shoot well. Just training them to shoot.
Yeah, the thing about it is like any kind of these futuristic horror movies with robots that kill people don't realize that robots have one weakness:
love.
Batteries.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, can't they make their own batteries though after a while?
You would have to have I won't sweat it until they can invent a battery that lasts super crazy long, because you just unplug that battery and it's like
that's why we shouldn't try so hard on nuclear fusion, because like once that happens then the robots just have endless energy.
But the nuclear fusion, you would argue, it's not like Iron Man who has a little thing on his chest and that's it. Yeah, it would be a huge monolith. What if you can't?
Yeah, but like move I don't around. Know. But it would charge other stuff. Like it could charge. They'd have battery charging stations, and then they can charge from the nuclear fusion
but
point.
A battery is still a flawed design. It's like we can eat anything, and there's developing robots that literally eat garbage and turn that into fuel.
I feel like we've crossed into helping the Russians find ways to make better robots, and now I'm worried. We're workshopping. Like, all right, how can we make these robots more deadly?
If they all look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'd be like. I welcome my new robot overlords.
Have you heard
their big dicks?
Have you heard? It's my favorite robot death theory. Is that in the future there will be a robot uprising just because we've talked about it so much that the robots will think we want it?
Well, if you think about it, it's like think about how much gay men's political action has been compromised by Scruff and Grindr. Right.
What do you mean?
Because we're all busy getting all the sex we want. Back in the past, we were like, it was hard to get laid. You had to go to a club, you had to dance to music you didn't like, drink watered down drinks, put up with bullshit, wait in line, step on gum, pee in public urinals and all that stuff. Now you just swipe right and dick's in your mouth. and part of it is like. In some ways, the dystopian future is going to have great sex.
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially because fear and just, constant poverty really puts an edge on it.
If I have to live in George Orwell's 1984, at least I'm going to get laid.
Right.
So there's always a silver lining. And sometimes it comes with a 9-inch cock.
And maybe you could get also a sex robot that has an endless battery. It'll just keep going. Yeah. That's,
Yeah,
the vibrator of our dreams.
Vibrator, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
It's going to terminate your need for, or what is it? Orgasms? Terminate your horniness.
Sperminator.
The Sperminator. There's a new medical technology that's delivering cancer medication to women's ovaries.
What?
Through sperm.
What do you mean through sperm?
Like they're, attaching the little pills, I guess, to the sperm and then jizzing into the women. And
it's medicine for cancer.
Yeah.
So do they remove
what?
Okay, so a sperm has that like flagellum or flagella.
Yeah, so they're using the flagellum.
So, and then are they removing the head of the sperm or are they just kind of...
Yeah, they're just basically they're just
shooting sperm into their. That's some Balto shit, right?
They're
there.
Fucking the cancer. We heard fuck cancer. They literally mean it
because that sperm goes all the way up there, and sometimes it'll go up to the fallopian tubes and whatnot. So I guess it'll go there. Fausto and I were watching, let's rewatch because we were going through Netflix and we saw He-Man was on there, right? And so let's rewatch the first episode of He-Man. There's so much homoerotic undertones to everything, and then they had this battle between Good and Bad or whatever, and it was basically like two sperm just dancing and just going across the stream, and we're like, that's just straight up cum.
Yeah, the movie makes a lot more sense after you watch that one. You know? It's like, oh, okay.
Wasn't Grace Jones's ex-boyfriend Dolph Lundgren? Mm-hmm. He was a star of the He-Man movie.
I never saw the He-Man movie.
Oh, it's hot. Great.
Is it?
I mean, like in a terrible way. Yeah, like in a you know what you're getting when you get into it kind of way.
Mm. Well, you were like a kid and you had you're not, because your dad was like a buff wrestler and stuff. So
yeah,
you're kind of not triggered by muscular guys like I am.
I had a Stretch Armstrong growing up.
Yeah, so you're turned on by people whose bodies are disformed or
yeah, you know me. Yeah, really have a fucking that Stretch Armstrong all the time.
Cold and you know.
Were you ever able to stretch him enough where he broke?
No, but I did. We did accidentally leave him in the sun for a while and he exploded.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. What does that look like?
Bad. It's just like gel all over the place. It was rough.
What have you done?
That's the
Cody.
Texas heat.
Yeah. It was, wow. Yeah, we left him outside on the patio.
So I was a little old for the He-Man toys.
I was a little young for the He-Man toys.
And I was at the toy store, you know, dragging my sister to buy some bullshit Cabbage Patch doll. Yeah, you know?
I like Cabbage Patch.
And I was like, let's dress up the Cabbage Patch doll as Madonna. You know, and we were like, yay, you know, kinky with my
sister. Dressing a baby like a whore?
That's my drag sensibility.
That was also Madonna's second book, Dress baby a Baby whore. Like a Whore.
But so when people were looking, I'd go up to the He-Man dolls and touch their little pecs. And
oh, nice.
Oh, they were like, fun to touch. Yeah. They were very like tactile, right?
My brother had a bunch of He-Man toys. My brother was like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles He-Man era. I was the like Power Rangers Mighty Max era.
But G.I. Joe was hot, right? Mark, you were like touching his beard. You thought that was sexy.
Oh my god, it was so sexy.
Yeah, see, they did a reboot of G.I. Joe where they made them all way buffer, and I had those action figures.
Oh.
They were like small soldiers, like those figures. Like, yeah.
G.I. Joe's hot.
Mm-hmm.
He-Man was hot. One of his friends was Fisto.
Yes, that is true.
No relation to you, right?
No. Like, he had a big
Fisto
fist.
Furnace.
And, you know, and there a lot of the costumes of He-Man was, you know, gay bondage, leather kind of costumes.
Sure.
Right? I didn't feel like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were sexy. They were never turned me on.
No. I think you were supposed to like the hockey player.
Thundercats was hot.
Yeah.
Lion-O.
Yeah. I liked the tiger.
And Voltron, not hot. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, not hot.
No, the Power Rangers.
Even though one of them actually came out to be a porn star and the other one came out as like half of them were like gay porn stars or something.
In real life,
the actors. Yeah.
I liked the new Red Ranger and the new Black Ranger in the movie.
They made
cute.
One of them lesbian in real life in the movie.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, in the new one.
It was the yellow one.
In the new movie. In Power Rangers Riverdale edition, which is the new one. They made one of them a lesbian, yes.
So I don't know. To me it was always like catch as catch can with a I was a fan of those Transformers, but I wasn't turned on by them.
Well, that'd be weird.
Where are you going to spit? say something funny.
You're going to spit at me. No, I'm just ruminating on it. Yeah, no.
Is that apple juice or urine?
That's apple juice. Why would I be drinking urine?
Because you're a piss queen, maybe?
No.
I don't know.
I have a lot of Howard Hughes-like qualities, but that's not one of them. Yeah, no judgment if somebody was attracted to Terminators. I mean, not Terminators, Transformers. But I don't think that was the game. I don't think you're... I don't know what you would be into if you were into a Transformer.
Oh, we know what you're into.
Transformations?
Yeah.
So you guys have both lived in Austin, Texas.
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm. There was a brothel, a massage parlor in Austin, Texas that got busted for sex work because the owner of the building had to fix the plumbing and noticed like all these condoms from this massage parlor are sucking up the plumbing.
Ugh.
And so he called the police and they did a bust and then they busted the people for running a brothel out of a massage parlor. And that's the thing. Do you guys flush your condoms down?
You're not supposed to. I wrap them up in a tissue and throw them away.
Yeah, I just eat them. No, that don't
sounds,
do that, people.
That sounds like the worst little whorehouse in Texas.
Yeah, yeah. Be like, this job's really, really hard.
Oh, God.
What's the best thing to do with a condom? Just wrap it up in...
Wrap it in tissue and throw it away.
You have to wrap it in tissue.
Let your mother clean it up.
Well, you wrap it in tissue to keep like the fluids from running around.
Okay.
You tie the end and stuff. Oh.
You're supposed to tie. I just wrap it in a Kleenex.
I wrap it in a Kleenex.
And I put it in a Ziploc bag. And then I put the Ziploc bag in a larger bag. And then I put that bag inside of a trunk.
And then I bury it with the dead body.
Yes, in the desert. I drive out into the middle of the desert and I bury it.
Have you seen this? What is it? Facebook now has a way that you can flag something as fake news.
Oh, yes. Really?
Yes. Yeah. So they're testing this out, and I guess it's to combat Russian propaganda machines and you know, server farms that are trying to manipulate our politics by getting us to believe things that aren't actually true or real.
Yeah.
And so if you see something that's fake, or like, you know, instead of time.com, it's team.com. You know, like the website's slightly different, you know.
Yeah. TIIME.com. Time.com.
My friend Tim's website, Tim.com.
That's a good URL. If you have a friend who locked down Tim.com,
That's
got to be porn.
Tim.com. Yeah. Let's go there.
I'm betting.
It's for sale.
Whoa. It's got to be too much money is the problem, I'm betting.
You say that I have the website Tim.com? The two people who are fans of Timmy on you know who that is, right? I want to buy a sports car.
I don't know. Yeah.
He's this guy. He's a British guy, right?
And he wants to buy a sports car.
He pretends he's like a six-year-old kid. No problem. Okay. Like, I'm not coming to school today. I think my mom's passed out on the floor.
She's passed out on the
and
floor.
Like, where do you go to school? I go to school there. Who's your teacher? Aren't you my teacher? And it goes on and on forever and ever. And he prank calls a bunch of people.
Yeah. Huh. I'm trying to find it up, a prank call. I'm a huge fan of his. Yeah, here we go. Trying to buy a Lamborghini. Tim Bradbury. Tiny Tim Adventures. And it's like 1.7 million views. Hilarious. Him ringing in sick at school is really good. And he sounds pretty much like this. Yeah.
He's an actor, right?
Yeah,
he's a British comedian. I recognize him. Yeah, yeah.
Hilarious. Check it out. So anyways, you know, part of it is like, I appreciate Facebook and social media and, you know, other institutions sort of like trying to separate the truth from the lies. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, I want to be lied to.
You want to believe
about
it?
What?
I want to believe this one story that I'm very skeptical about. The headline reads, "An African village terrorized by gay baboon."
Oh my gosh. How do they know it's gay? Does it come in and like redecorate their house or something? What? I mean, what's it doing? Give him haircuts?
No, it's not. It's not like, you know, giving fierce recaps of Drag Race.
It has strong opinions on interior design.
No, it's raping men in the village.
What?
Yeah. And so this baboon comes in and is attacked because these baboons are big, you know?
Yeah.
Baboons are not only are they big, they're very strong and they're very dangerous.
Have you fought a baboon before?
No.
The way you said that really felt like you'd fought a baboon.
Well, my friend used to work at the zoo in my hometown, and this is really terrible. But the thing is like if you went to the baboon, if you kind of made like a jerking off motion with just your hand, he would masturbate.
And
so what we do is like when there was a mom and a kid looking at were in high school. You have to remember we were in high school. And so we would stand behind him, we would make that jerk off sign, and then the baboon would just start to jerk off, and sometimes he would either throw shit at people or he'd throw his sperm at people.
Ooh. And to cure their cancer.
And I guess that's a problem in you know, parts of the world that live next to primates, is that primates are, you know, like us, they're social animals.
And they're pests for a lot of people.
Yeah, the only thing I know about China is that, like, in the mountains of China are like, these old world, like, monkeys that will fuck you up. Mm. Like,
they'll fuck your shit
up. Oh, they're mean. Yeah. I worked with one woman, she was from Laos, and we were talking, and I was like, oh, you guys have monkeys there? And she just, like, the look on her face just changed. Terrifying. And she was like, she got so angry, she was just like, I hate monkeys. And I'm just like, I was just like, you know, to me, in my mind, I'm like, they're these cute little animals you see in a zoo. And she's like, there was this guy, and he would bring his monkey over because he'd harvest the coconuts. He would send the coconut, like the monkey, up to get the coconuts, and that monkey was a real bastard, and it would throw the coconuts at you sometimes.
Oh my
and
God.
It knew it was throwing them at you, and it would bite you, and it was really, really mean.
Oh, well, you guys are familiar with the West Indies island of St. Kitts?
Yeah.
Vaguely.
Where monkeys prowl the beaches snagging drinks from tourists.
Yeah, they get drunk. I would be so mad.
And there's these hilarious BBC documentaries about, you know, alcoholic vervet monkeys who like get drink on pina coladas and stuff.
Where's that intervention show where we go and we try to intervene on these drunk monkeys?
So this baboon that's attacking these African villagers, I guess they're saying that it's an anomaly, and that the baboon has been separated from its troop or its pack, and
because they're homophobes,
I guess. And so they're the baboon's like pinning down passerby and, you know, humping the males. I don't know if he's actually sexually penetrating them or not. The news story doesn't explain that, but
that'd be a very intricate news story.
Well, it's got to be horrible to be assaulted like that.
Yeah.
Well, I think when an animal forces itself on you, it's probably going to bite you anyways, too.
It also feels like a very 1950s thing to call it a gay baboon just like because it's sexually assaulting men. Like that seems a rapist rapes men doesn't make them a homosexual technically. Like
this is a propaganda to be like, see, this is why we can't legalize, you know, gay sex in our country, because now the animals will do it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Look at that baboon.
Yeah,
what a weird place to be in.
It's making it seem like gay sex is like it's like something only animals would do.
Yeah, and it's terrorizing the village.
Right. It's terrorizing, and then it's evil
forced upon somebody.
Again, similar to the Terminator thing. It's like what a weird position to find yourself in that you're trying to make your political points based off of. Look at this baboon, right? Like that's your like you've been backed in so far into a corner that you've got to use this baboon who's assaulting people as evidence for your point. Like that's bad. That's a bad look.
I say let them debate it out on television.
Them and the baboon?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, solid baboon.
Point taken. 3 minutes. It would pretty much be like, you know, Hillary versus Trump.
I cede the rest of my time to the baboon.
Yeah, one of these Republicans said he voted to kill privacy rules on the internet because he feels that nobody deserves the right to have access to the internet. This is a U.S. Representative Jim Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin.
Fine.
Get rid of him.
Yeah. Why?
You don't have a right to privacy on the internet.
And I felt that used to be a big Republican thing. Like the Republicans used to be the big privacy champions. Yeah. I mean, like that was
Point in time.
I mean, definitely at least to the 90s, but like that they were the big champions of privacy laws.
Yeah. I feel like you're right on that.
Yeah. Personal property and privacy has always been a big Republican thing.
I don't know. Part of me, it's like at this point with Trump and the Russian takeover of our federal government and these, you know, just selling us out and sort of like piece by piece pulling apart the internet. It's like, will we even be around as a podcast in 5 years from now? It's like, will we have social media? It's who knows what it is. And part of me is like, for people who are supporting these Republicans, how bad does it have to get before you decide enough is enough? Like Trump can be impeached tomorrow. He's done plenty of bad things that are impeachable,
but there's very much little will there.
Nobody wants to do it. So we're starting to see, hopefully in 2018, I'm very skeptical about it. But if enough people get out to vote, a lot of these Republican held seats will flip.
Yeah.
And Trump might get the guillotine.
Flip that shit.
You know,
or else we're going to be back in the corners by Terminator baboon Russian armies. Robots. Like, yeah, these baboons riding Terminator robots from Russia.
And they're going to shows.
They're going to fire sperm at us with bombs on them.
Mark, do you feel like we addressed your needs as a drag queen? I feel like the weird news could have steamrolled over your.
I think he can incorporate.
You know, you got me to not slap people. I think that's important.
That really is a big one.
I still might do it. Maybe not hard, but something. Because you when you're doing that, like I Will Survive, you're refuting somebody.
As long as you have consent.
You know?
That was our number one rule, was don't hit anybody. That was the first one we did. I feel like
I didn't listen.
I feel like as an artist, you're supposed to, you know, you fill the tanks.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the news stories gives Mark some things to incorporate into the act, you know? Maybe a little baboon sperm tossing. I don't know. The jerk off motion, a robot terminator. I'm sure it'll ruminate in her.
Motions.
It'll ruminate in her mind and come out as art. And that's how art is made.
Mark, leave us in a good happy news story. Let's talk about the unicorn frappuccino.
Well, I don't know what it's
delicious.
I know. So like it's a frappuccino, I guess, and it's flavored.
It's like multi. Like, it's multi-layered flavor where it's like every layer is a different flavor.
Yeah, this is I guess Starbucks, it starts off as like a it's like a purple drink with blue swirls, and it tastes kind of sweet and fruity, and then it changes to pink, and then it has like a tangy and tart taste after you mix it with a straw.
And of course, people are like, once again, Starbucks is trying to make us gay.
Yes, and succeeding.
I, you know, I'm like, if you're going to do that, I'm game. It does look like it has just a ton of sugar in it.
That's my only problem with it is like, I would maybe get it once and not just be able to eat dessert forever after it.
Like, and it has these like color changing crystals on top.
Yeah,
and
it's just too much. It's like cotton candy. It always seems like it's a good idea.
Full of chemicals.
Yeah.
Well, and they said that it was inspired by a unicorn themed food that you find online, which is mostly like pastries and cookies and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mark and I were working on a Kickstarter for season 3 of Cooking with Drag Queens. And we're trying to come up with something visually clever to do, and I was thinking like a unicorn pizza.
Unicorn
cake. I don't know, just put a bunch of shit on it
and call it unicorn.
Just, you know, pink polka dots, you know.
I feel like Daphne Dumont's catchphrase should be, I don't know, just put a bunch of shit on it. That's a good catchphrase.
Just put a bunch of shit on it and then do like what Coco Chanel says before you leave the door. Just take off one item. So you only have 49 items instead of 50.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say do what Coco Chanel does and fuck a Nazi. I was like, okay.
Fuck a Nazi.
We could do petty fours.
Oh,
you know, mini cakes.
Cute. I've always dreamed about making petty fours.
You never made a petty four?
No, they're always too, because you got to cut up little pieces of cake.
It's
easy
to make a petty four.
You guys should do it.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's make petty fours.
Unicorn petty fours.
Don't be petty four.
Don't be petty. Bring some money down the floor, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Cooking with Drag Queens, season 3 of the Kickstarter, coming in two or three weeks.
Ooh.
And we're going to, in the Kickstarter campaign, we're going to start posting rewards, showing behind the scenes footage from our past episodes.
Oh,
because there's all this great stuff that we captured, and now these queens have sort of gone on to become huge names. I mean, Shea Coulee, she's probably going to win Drag Race if she doesn't get eliminated soon.
I have a feeling she's going to go very far.
I don't see her getting eliminated, so I easily top three.
Because, you know, she's, you know, the thing about it is like she's very much one of the look queen of the season for sure. But also, too, she's got a lot of talent to back it up.
Yeah, she's a costume designer, according to her.
She studied costume design.
She's actually a trained actor. You know, like acting is her background.
Mm-hmm.
So when she acts like she likes Sasha Velour, she's... Sasha, watch your back, girl.
She's going to... Yeah, she'll win if she doesn't get eliminated.
It is a competition. These queens is like, be like,
she'll go far.
You can kiki all you want, or kai kai with a girl all you want, but just keep an eye on your back.
And if
girl.
She doesn't make it, if she doesn't win, I think it'll be the same reason why Kimchi didn't win.
But I'll say from Chicago,
maybe.
They want to fuck. They want a Chicago, and they're gonna fuck your ass. What is it that did Mystique Summer say?
I'm from Chicago, and I will whoop your ass.
Whoop your ass.
And it was like, bitch, you're from Houston. She's like, she's like, I know. And
she's going to be at the Austin International Drag Festival with us.
Now, I think she is now. I adore her. She's so sweet to hang out with. I've written to her recently. I'm like, come back up to Chicago and do a podcast with us sometime. She's a doll.
She's one of my favorite people from Drag Race. Absolutely. And just an angel. You don't even recognize her, though, because she's lost so much weight.
Oh, wow.
You're just like, who's this, you know, skinny black guy? And you're like, you're Mystique Summers? Holy shit.
Oh.
It's like, she's not... She's half the man she used to be.
But twice the queen she was.
She's still 100% fierce diva, honey. Nice. She's sizzling hot. I'm literally looking forward to your performance on Saturday.
I'm looking forward to it, too. I got to go practice right now.
First, I was afraid. I was petrified.
Throw on your heels and go to the gym.
I'm gonna.
Yeah, honey. You're gonna get six pack abs with this people right now.
This much. Just put some shit on it.
Cody Melcher, you're a host of a fantastic podcast called Tome Foolery.
Yep. Yeah, we just released a new episode. It's the Truth for Youth Bible. It's a comic book evangelical Bible that is terrible. One of the comics is about how homosexuals are ruining America. So, you know,
I love
fun times.
Yeah. Why aren't you having me on to talk about that one? The Jack Chick comic books I love those.
We did a chick book once, but I had on two former guests of the show who grew up heavily evangelical, Jesus camp style stuff. So
yeah,
fun
I don't
time.
Want to do Poor that.
Guys. So it was fun. It was a fun time. But and then I've also got a show coming out next week. I do a monthly show with my friend Alexandra called Shindig. It's starting back up. It was a show we used to do. It is at the Public House Theater the last Wednesday of the month.
What the hell is that?
It is in Chicago on Clark Street. Just south of Irving Park, right by the cemetery.
Oh, that's the old Teatro Luna.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. It's great. All the proceeds go to charity. It's a party variety show, and every show is a different theme for the party based off of a holiday. And every show also the proceeds go to a different charity. So,
and what's the theme for your party?
So for this month, the party is National Karaoke Week. And the proceeds go to A26 Chicago, a nonprofit writing and tutoring center in Chicago for children ages 6 to 18.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice. Why do you say Teatro Luna with such, scorn on your face?
There was so much going on.
It was the Latina.
It was the lesbian Latina theater ensemble.
Yeah.
And you'd think, it would be a lot of fun or exciting. And it was very... I would describe their performances as very didactic.
Oh.
So it was like you needed cliff notes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
And you're like, hey, Frida Kahlo was a bisexual Latina. This is going to be fierce and fun and full of passion. And
yeah.
No.
Yeah, it was like
you're supposed to respect the process, not be entertained.
Yeah, it's always a bad sign when the movie or the play begins with, this is not entertainment.
Yeah.
And you're like, the whole audience collectively goes, oh.
They're handing out a course packet as you go. Yeah.
It's not good.
No.
I'm all for, infotainment or transmutation. What is it? Lesbication?
Lesbian education.
Like lesbian education or something, but it's like
Lesbarian?
Yeah, but to me it's like, listen, we there's a little bit of desire to escape your reality and be entertained. There's nothing wrong with entertaining people, and it's not oppressive.
You can do both.
To entertain somebody, And when you sort of frame your project in like, this is not enjoyable, let the audience decide that for themselves. Maybe it is enjoyable for them.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't know it sucks if you don't tell them it sucks.
That's how I keep doing stand-up. That's how I keep making it.
Mm-hmm. That's why we're still here, people.
Also, final thing, because we're talking about Austin, I'm going to be at HavenCon, which is a queer gaming and comic book convention in Austin, Texas, next weekend.
And you're not inviting me.
Well, it's in Austin. You can come if you want.
I love
They're bringing
Austin.
Me down. I'm the VIP entertainment, so I'm performing for their VIP party. Yes, most of my act is that. And then right after that, we're doing a live tomfoolery with Karina Magyar. We're doing clown ministry books.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
But come on to the con. It seems like it's gonna be a really fun time. And I also have a table there. I'll be selling merch and hanging out.
You can borrow my sound effects tools.
I will also be bringing also sound effects tools. There's a slide whistle somewhere. It's right behind him. There it is.
Where's it?
Are you looking for the slide whistle?
No, I'm looking for the...
All this shit's so disorganized.
Get your shit together over there.
I found an ocarina.
But that's not a good one.
Where's
though.
The ocarina?
Yeah, it's right here.
What? Oh, this, yeah. So before Alaska, she used to go, hi, hi, hi. And so we were like, Alaska, it's a B flat. Hi, hi, hi.
Get on the note.
Hi, hi. And that's how you can do Alaska's thing.
Good.
It's standardized.
I'm pretty tone deaf.
Guys, Feast of Fun is made possible because of your financial support. We couldn't do this. You're getting a tax return? Share a little bit of the money with us.
Yeah, go to feastoffun.com/donate and make a contribution. It really helps the show be the show that you want it to be.
And if you want to become a member and access 12 years of amazing podcasts, Common Mistakes Drag Queens Make with Bob the Drag Queen is a really standout show there. And it's available only through our website, feastoffun.com. Cody Melcher, you're one of America's treasures.
Oh, you all are. Thank you so much for having me.
But I say that about everybody.
I know. And I was going to just take it as a compliment anyway. But thank you for raking the reel. I guess this isn't entertainment.
Yeah, it's not.
It's a little bit of both.
I actually made the mistake one time of saying that in front of the audience. And the audience was very anti-establishment. They're like, this is one of America's greatest treasures. And they're like, fuck America. And I was like,
they were very, it was after 9/11 or something. Yeah. When was it or something?
Oh, like, I was like,
oh, it was after George Bush invaded Iraq.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, one of the world's greatest treasures.
Fuck the world.
Fuck the world. Fuck humanity. Fuck treasures.
One of the patriarchy's greatest treasures.
Oh, you've read my bio.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.